The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th and 10th chapters. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaan, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I remember a summer when those words were literally true on the farm where I grew up. It was the summer of 1945. The war in Europe ended in May, but the war in the Pacific would not end until mid-August. And it would be months before many members of the armed forces returned to their homes. In the meantime, there was the harvest of oats, barley, and wheat to be gathered in. And combines were not yet a part of the Northeast Nebraska landscape. That meant the grain had to be cut and tied into bundles on a machine called the binder. When the bundles were stacked in shocks. When the bundles were dry, 7 or 8 neighbors came together, each with a team of horses, a hay rack to haul bundles to the threshing machine. My dad owned and operated the threshing machine, so he usually hired a young man to run the hay rack. That summer, there were no young men to hire. So he turned to a neighbor boy and me, early teens who certainly couldn't begin to qualify as models for a fitness center ad. We were definitely a due to circumstances beyond our control team. We were expected to throw bundles into the rack, stack them so they wouldn't fall off, drive them to the threshing machine, and unload them. It was hot, sweaty, hard work, and a big responsibility from sunup to sundown. When our work in the field was done, there were still the horses to be unharnessed, curried, and fed. It was no walk in the park. At the same time, we felt privileged to be asked to do it. We were working with the big boys. No more were we assigned less important jobs like bringing water or lunch to the threshing crew or eating with the cooks and the children. Besides that, the harvest was important work. It was the culmination of months of preparing the ground, scattering the seed, and praying for rain and sunshine in the proper amounts and at the proper time. It had to be done before hail shattered the crop and the grain was pounded into the ground. But did my friend and I always accomplish what we were expected to accomplish? Of course not. We'd been told what to do and how to do it, but sometimes we thought we knew better, and that didn't always work out. No matter how high we stacked the bundles, they managed to settle in the rack and make our load look puny compared to the others. Sometimes we yielded to the temptation to cut time off loading so we could have a few extra minutes of rest in the shade of our rack before unloading. Sometimes the spirit was willing, but the body was weak. In spite of how inadequate or negligent we were part of a crew, and the other men helped as they could. My dad always had our backs. He was our employer. He was also our helper. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Jesus speaks these words after he has been on a preaching, teaching, healing mission in Galilee. He had seen how badly his hearers need the message he is proclaiming. They are ripe for the harvest of love, forgiveness, peace, and life. But he can't reach them alone. Like a diligent farmer, God spent time and effort preparing the Israelites for the love Jesus was now proclaiming. Jesus knows God's promise to Abraham and Sarah. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. He knows of the priests, judges, kings, and prophets God sent to instruct and call to repentance a people of God's own choosing. Unless the crop God's work has brought to fruition is gathered in, it will be lost like hail-battered grain. So Jesus tells the disciples to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers to the harvest. And guess what? The next thing Jesus does is give the disciples the same authority he exercised in his mission. He invites the disciples to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest, and then appoints them as answers to their own prayers. I imagine there were many disciples asking, "Who? Me?" In their imaginations, they knew the hard work of the harvest field, the possibility of being inadequate or even scorned for their feeble efforts. As we read through the Gospels, we see times when they could honestly say, "See, it was as hard as we thought, and we weren't always able to do the job." But in the end, they also saw what a privilege it was to join Jesus in working with him, the really big boy, to bring the same harvest of love and healing, peace and joy they'd found while being with Jesus in a world, and to bring it to a world that needed it so badly. In the end, they knew they'd never been working alone. Jesus always had their backs. When my confirmation pastor invited me to pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest, I didn't realize I was being challenged to be the answer to my own prayer, to attend seminary, to be ordained as a pastor of the United Lutheran Church in America, and to proclaim the gospel and administer the sacraments in congregations. But that's exactly what happened. In the same way, today's gospel challenges you and me to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest, at the risk of being asked to be the answer to our own prayers. We may be sent as laborers to reap the harvest, to fulfill the privilege described in the first letter of Peter. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, to proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. For some people, that is the challenge of being a pastor, the ministry of word and sacrament, or of being a deacon, the ministry of word and service. Or it may be the challenge of a song like Jesus Loves Me with a small child, a phone call to a lonely neighbor, a pot of soup on the porch of a sick friend, or a walk with a loved one through the valley of the shadow of death. In one way or another, we will be saying, I love you because God loves you and me. As instruments of God's grace, we will shine the marvelous light of God's love into the darkness of loneliness, unforgiven sin, hopelessness, or death. That darkness will glow with the presence of our loving Heavenly Father, forgiveness without strings attached, hope beyond our fondest dreams, and life in the Father's house. If you are asking, who, me? I can only say there will be times and circumstances when you feel inadequate, but we never work alone. We work as a community, God's family, supporting one another. And wherever God calls us to labor in the harvest, God has gone before us and is with us, loving us, forgiving us, supporting us, and guiding us. God has our backs. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. May you and I pray that prayer. Listen for the answer to it, and look for ways we can fulfill it. Amen.